Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your tired host today, because we are in the middle of the holiday season, and we have got, I think, a pretty phenomenal theme today, and I think it fits for the time of the year, along with all the things that we deal with in overcoming adversity. So our theme today is Daily Grit, Overcoming Everyday Adversity, and I am delighted to tell you about just a little bit of who our leading lady is today. And I'm excited to introduce Jennifer Luhr, and she is the president of Experian Partner Solutions. Not only is she a president, but she is an award-winning Women of Influence Award winner just this year for our 2018 Women of Influence Awards. So, Jennifer, you are all that. Say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for having me, and happy almost New Year, Michelle.
Exactly. We're in that holiday season. We are, and I don't know about you. We'll dish on this for a moment. I cannot believe how fast 2018 has gone, and yet, wow, you know, it just seems like the years go faster and faster, and, you know, we're talking about daily grit and overcoming some of those everyday adversities, which I think many women are dealing with right now, getting through the holidays, ending up and wrapping up year end. It's like, what are your thoughts about this daily grit and overcoming everyday adversity? Because I love the title and the theme, but is this what a lot of women are dealing with right now, is, you know, adversity and the holidays and the hangover?
Yeah. Yes, it is the holiday hangover, both financially and energetically. You know, it's interesting. I, at the end of every year, I usually do a look back, or, you know, some people call it a lessons learned or a retrospective of the year. And I find that when I first sit down to do that and think about what went well and what could have gone better, I focus on the big stuff. And that's maybe a handful of big things that were highs and lows of the year. And then when I start to think about what really drives my happiness, my engagement, it's those every day I feel when I come home from a normal day or when I'm traveling on the road. And that's what got me thinking about daily grit and how I need to keep my energy up for the in-between times when they're not necessarily I'm running on adrenaline. And so that's where I really started to focus on, you know, it's the everyday part of my life that really makes up the whole. And how can I kind of smooth out those highs and lows a bit and feel more energized at the end of every day?
You know, I love that. And I think, you know, it's interesting for so many of us as women. It's like there are days, you know, Jennifer, where I feel like, gosh, I'm just on it. I'm on top of it. It's like, you know, the whole thing standing in front of the ship, right? It's like, I'm on top of the world. And then other days you're just like, nothing goes right, you know? And I'm curious what are the secret sauces or sauce here to being able to kind of handle that daily grit? Because some days you're great and you just feel like you're, you know, you're all over it. And other days it's like things are just painful and they're everyday occurrences. But we just, how do you get through it with daily grit? I'm really curious because I know you talk about you have a toolbox for this or something.
I do have a toolbox. So I think about it a few different ways. And I consider there's a variety of derailers out there. So when you're having a great day and you've worked out in the morning and your drive goes really well or your flight's on time and then you kind of hit that first derailer, that's when you got to get your toolkit out so you don't end up going down a drain. So there's kind of, you know, I think about daily grit in a few different ways. The first way is I'm overwhelmed by the situation and I don't know how to handle it. And that's where I think, okay, what are my tools? The second way I think about it is I'm not reacting well to adversity. Something happens and I go into reaction mode versus respond mode. And I take a deep breath and say, okay, what are my tools? And then I'm sure we've all been there. This is what's so interesting about the holidays, actually, is I've lost my perspective. What are my tools? Because oftentimes, and you know, you've got so much on the to-do list, and you're focused on I've got to you know, make things great for everyone around me, instead of really sitting back and saying, wow, the perspective here is I want to spend time with those I love, and maybe have a little recharge time. And what are my tools there? So, you know, it's interesting. The first one, you know, I'm overwhelmed by the situation. That is one where when people are in transition or it kind of creeps up on them, you know, you start adding more and more to your plate and you realize one day you wake up and you say, I just want to pull the covers over my head. That's a big one. And I've had this occur. I've had a lot of folks that I mentor come to me when they reach that breaking point. And it's interesting because what I find is oftentimes we're worried and we don't really realize that there's a worry buried in there that's causing us concern. And I read this great book by Dale Carnegie about how to stop worrying. And he takes you through an exercise where you keep thinking about, what am I worried about? What am I worried about? And so an example of that is early in my career, I had a very challenging role at a new company, new corporate culture, very conflict-aggressive culture. It was not natural for me, and I felt like I wasn't going to be successful. I had two young children. I was the breadwinner, and I realized what I'm really concerned about is I'm going to lose my job. I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage, and I'm going to be on the street, and I won't be able to provide for my family. And when I really kind of pushed past that to say, well, if that were to happen, what would I do? I worked through all of the things that I could do. We had some savings. We could have had a bit of a cushion. If worse came to worse, we could have moved in with my parents. Not a great, you know, not a lot of fun, but I could have done it and still provided for my family. I would have found another job. Once I kind of worked through what I was really worried about and I put a plan in place, I was able to relax and say, I'm okay. I can fail, and wow, I still have a backup plan. And that really helped lower my anxiety level and took that, you know, I wasn't as overwhelmed anymore.
Well, you know, real quick, Jennifer, because I love this, and we're going to hit all three of them. I just want to back up because I'm like, seriously, that's so powerful because, you know, we as women, man, we are worriers, and I want to make sure everybody of our listeners, they get that book, and it's by Dale Carnegie, and it's like How to Stop Worrying. Is that correct?
I will double-check the title before we get off just to make sure everybody's got it. It's Carnegie, which is easy to find on Amazon.
I'm sure. Well, yeah, it's that's really good. I think one of the questions I've got, and this is just, again, because when you're in that zone and you're I call it head trash too, right? It's like you get in that worry mode and, you know, you're just thinking what's going to go wrong. But how do you – what have you learned as a trick or an idea or maybe just a technique that you move yourself from just that, you know, and you said reaction versus respond. How do you recognize that? How do you pull your mind back to saying, I'm not going to react? Because that's almost like a muscle to be, you know, to be worked. And it's not something that would be natural for a lot of us as women. Any thoughts on that?
And I love the term. Did you say head trash?
I love that. Yeah, totally head trash.
Or for me, it's monkey mind. So I can, you know, my mind is, you know, kind of going crazy in there and chattering to me. You know, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I've spent time doing a morning meditation. And the thing that I've noticed that helps me do is listen to that inner voice. And when I start to get overly critical, when I start to feel myself have emotional reactions, that's when I know it's my cue. And I think every person, when you really authentically check in with yourself, you know when you're reaching that point of the head trash, the monkey mind, where you need to take a break. And there's a few things that you can do depending on what relaxes you to reset that, and you can move from react to response mode. For me, I generally like to walk outside. When I can reset my environment and I'm outside and I either feel the cool air or the warm sun, I walk around a little bit, I take some deep breaths, that's a great reset for me. I know a lot of other people that can go to a quiet place, take some deep breaths, do a bit of a meditation, or they might do a guided meditation. Other people prefer exercise, or I knew someone who every day at lunch would close his office door and watch a TV episode. So that was his way of, in the middle of the day, resetting, which I thought was great. just a half an hour, you know, kind of fun episode if you want to catch up on friends again or revisit, you know, something. It was a great way for him to reset. So I think some of it is just getting in touch with what relaxes you and puts you more in your kind of normal aligned mode so that you can be more thoughtful. The other thing I've learned, Michelle, and I'm not afraid to admit it, sometimes I just bite my tongue. And I've learned that that is often a better way for me to get to go into response mode and to really think about what I'm going to say before I open my mouth. So what is the saying, engage your brain before you engage your mouth? It took me 40 plus years to learn that one, but
I think bite your tongue was really good on that one, literally, not figuratively, right? You're like, literally bite your tongue. I think that one's good. So I want to make sure we go back. That was just one. It's like, I know you still got two other, you know, little items in your toolbox here for Daily Grit. Let's hear number two, because these are pretty good.
Okay. Well, I've got a sub one to the first one, which is I'm overwhelmed by the situation, because as we, you know, move up in our careers and we take on more complicated challenges, which, you know, are exciting and they're definitely great from a growth perspective, they can be overwhelming. And I had an opportunity to do that in a prior role. And what I distinctly remember one day going into my boss with our head of sales, who was my counterpart, and we both said, you're asking us to do the impossible. We're completely overwhelmed. We can't do this. And he was, to his credit, listened to us, and he said, I want you to go home, and I have a homework assignment for you. I want you to watch the movie Touching the Void. And we kind of looked at each other, and he, you know, this is obviously an odd conversation to have in a business environment, and we said, okay, fine. So we both went and watched the movie. And it's a movie about two men who set off to climb a peak in the Himalayas that hadn't been climbed before. And I won't go through the entire story. It's a great, kind of very gripping story. But in it, one of the men early on breaks his leg, and he's got to figure out a way to stay alive and crawl down this mountain without any water. And in the middle of the movie, he tells a very compelling story about what is essentially incrementalism. And so he believes he's going to die. He doesn't see how he's going to get down this mountain, but what he realizes is he can make it to the next rock. And from there, he challenges himself to get to the next crevasse and the next one. And over a series of a couple days, he ends up doing this thing, surviving, getting down this mountain that he thought was completely impossible. And it's a wonderful, wonderful metaphor for incrementalism in our everyday lives, just told in a very artful way. And so whenever I get overwhelmed, I'm a list person, I'll start making a list. I'll think about, okay, if this is the vision of where we need to be, how do we need to get there? What are things that we need to do? And then I just start working on those things that are the near term. And that seems to sort of reduce the overwhelming part, the anxiety of having to do something that's really, really big. And so I like to pass that on because for me, it really put things in perspective.
I think, you know, gosh, wow, these are great gems. I just love what you're talking about. And the word I wrote down is incrementalism. Incrementalism.
Yes, incremental.
That's a new word. I've never heard that before, but I think I'm going to go check out that movie. So that's awesome. All right. So what else you got? I know there's more in this Daily Grit toolbox.
There's some good stuff. Yeah. So,
you should do a book,
well,
Jennifer. You should do a book.
I love it. You're inspiring me. That's great.
Good.
So
that's my job.
So we touched on it a little bit, which is I'm not reacting well to adversity. You know, what's my toolkit? Mm-hmm. And let's face it, there's a lot of things that that women are great at. And one of the things that we do really, really well is we show emotion, we have empathy, we connect with people. That's all on the positive side of women's leadership. Sometimes when we're out of alignment, when we're stressed, that can feel a lot more on the negative side, and we get emotional display negative emotions, let's say. And so anytime I'm stressed, I'm a high F on the Myers-Briggs, so I'm a high feel person. So I've had to work very much on managing my state of mind. And so we touched on it a little bit around meditation, and I always tell people, if you don't like that word, you can frame it as morning prayer, as quiet time. Some people feel like a Tai Chi exercise is more appropriate if they like to be moving, whatever works. But having and taking 10 to 15 minutes in the morning for just yourself, really to set your intention for the day, to relax your mind, to focus on what you're grateful for, all of that ends up creating an anchor, at least in my life, for my day. And so as I go through it, it really helps keep me in a great state of mind and focused on what matters most, keeping that perspective.
Mm.
And
I love that. You know, have you?
Oh, good.
I'm just curious. Have you ever read? There's a book that's called The Miracle Morning. Have you read it?
I have not. What's that about?
It's a great book.
Sounds great.
It talks about that. It talks about just that. It really takes it into a really deep level. And, you know, it's so funny. I know people just in our circles, and it's always funny because people will say, I know when I get off my miracle morning. In fact, it's so funny because my husband will say, are we having a miracle morning? And he knows when I have it. And it's pretty funny because of the whole idea of setting your mind, taking that quiet moment, you know, saying some affirmations, you know, kind of setting your intentions for the day. So if any of our listeners want a little bit more perspective on that, The Miracle Morning is a great book. So at any rate, great thoughts and ideas. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your women's initiative, but I know you've got, I think, one more really important, you know, toolkit for the Daily Grit toolbox.
Yes. And that one is just perspective on what matters. Because I think sometimes we get very focused on our to-dos and we get very focused on being, you know, successful. And I met someone just a few weeks ago, actually, who had a real impact on me. We had a, you know, 30-minute conversation, and she said, every time I'm talking to a leader and I'm talking to them about their career, she said, I always challenge them, do you want to be successful or do you want to be significant? And that one hit me right in the heart because I just thought, oh, I love that. Because a lot of times, especially when we're, you know, we're kind of mid-career and we're thinking about where we're going and we, you know, we're very goal-oriented and we want to be successful, we get a little too focused on grabbing that ring versus thinking about what is the impact that I want to have on those around me. And when I take stock of my life, you know, every decade, what am I giving back? And I think that significance, I love that word. I also think about the perspective that we need to have about what's important in our lives and what's our purpose? What are we here for? What really gives us energy and motivates us? That's holistic. And I think what I find is when I've lost perspective and I'm just focused on one area of my life, generally my career, I'm not as feeling as fulfilled. I am more in that reaction place versus the response place. And so for me, perspective is making sure that I'm, you know, I'm calendaring time with my family and friends, that I'm, you know, I have good friends who I've had for 25, 30 years who I make time to see. And we're on a weekend calendar at least a couple times a year and seeing each other. And I get so much energy and love from that. And that adds perspective to my life. So that was the third one, is just you feel yourself in that spot. Yeah.
I see that as a wall painting, right? But no, I've never heard those two together because we focus so much on being more successful and, you know, success
yes.
is such a big word, means different things to different people. Significance. Wow, that kind of like,
yes.
you know, grounds you. I love that. That's powerful. You know, Jennifer, I'm curious. I want our listeners to know that, I mean, you are all that, first of all. I want all of our listeners to know, but I want you to describe how you're all that in this way. You know, tell a little bit, if you can, in a little more detail. You know, we've all had those lessons learned that we've had. I mean, you are in a very affluent and, you know, influential role in your position with Experian. And I'm curious, you know, for our listeners to know, what do you feel are maybe the main three things that have really been instrumental to you and your significance? I'm not using the word successful. I love it.
Well, I love that. Thank you. So I guess a few things. And one thing that anytime I'm asked to share some of my insights, I always like to pass on is, you know, these have been gathered together. I've gathered them together from my many mentors and sponsors who I've had along my journey. And I'm so grateful to the many people who have taken the time to slow down, whether it was kind of, I like to always talk about in the moment mentors, people who I maybe didn't have a long-term mentorship relationship with, but took the time to give me some feedback in the moment, to long-term mentors who I've had for many years who take a personal interest in in me excelling and being, you know, well grounded in life. And so I think it's all of those relationships. If I could go back and say there's one thing that's made a difference in my trajectory, both career and personal, has been, you know, really having those great connections with individuals and learning and listening. So that would be the first thing. And those occur know, outside in normal life and also in the office. And I sort of collect those relationships and stay in touch with people. So that would be the first one. You know, the second thing, and it's interesting, I think Sheryl Sandberg talks about the difference between a sponsor and a mentor in Lean In. It's something that we talk a lot about at Experian as well, is having sponsors in my career has really helped me. Early in my career, I was a journalist. I was not a business person. I went back to school and got an MBA while I was working full-time. And people who saw potential in me gave me opportunities completely outside of my, at that time, expertise and, frankly, my comfort zone. And so those opportunities were game changers for me because they allowed me to really level up quickly, sometimes a bit painfully. And so that's where I go back to kind of some of these everyday grit moments, because, you know, I think part of my ability to excel in my roles really was about learning and relearning ways to handle the pressure as I moved up into different roles and opportunities. So those would be the two things. And then the
third
thing, thanks. The third thing that I just talk about, and something that when you think about significance and what I'm trying to do in my role, is Experian launched what we call the Power of You a few years ago, and it's really around diversity and inclusion within our business, and it's been fantastic. We have many different employee resource groups. The first employee resource group was Women in Experian, and I have the opportunity now to be the ambassador for our North America Women in Experian group, and it's been a real game changer for me. And I will tell you, I'm a Generation Xer. I used to like to pretend that nobody knew I was a woman. I was just a hardworking employee, and so this, you know, when I started having younger women come up to me and say things like role model, which I was really honored to hear, I realized, wow, I need to do more, and I want to do more, and to pay it forward in terms of what many women had provided to me early in my career. And so we have a mix of sponsorships, mentorships, so very formalized mentor programs where we match people, either if they're looking for mentorship within their function or business or even outside, so, you know, looking for career opportunities in different areas of North America. We bring in professional speakers for education, and then we've piloted a women's development program specifically for our high potential women who are interested in moving into the executive ranks. And that's been a lot of fun to put that together and create something from scratch that we really want to address the needs of our high potentials who are thinking about how do I continue to move up and really aim for the top spots in our global leadership team. And, you know, we have some very honest brass tacks conversations around how things change at different levels in larger organizations, things like how to manage your brand, executive presence, how to have conflict, how to kind of manage up in a way that still means that, you know, you're not the yes person, you actually have an opinion and you're making sure that you're guiding your business. So it's been very rewarding, and I would recommend anyone who's listening who is in an organization that's ready for this kind of a program to find some female sponsors and to even just start by pulling together a networking group and maybe a mentorship program. That's how we started, and we grew from there.
Wow. Okay. Jeez, I got 20,000 questions in there. That is amazing.
Okay.
As just information. And, you know, we have limited time, but first of all, just a couple of things. I mean, seriously, Jennifer, I love that your organization, you know, recognizes that there, and I almost like want to throw out the word diversity. To me, it's like, let's just be inclusive, right? It's like, let's get the job done, you know, no matter what our background is, you know, where we're from, what our, you know, ethnic background is, gender, age, whatever. And I mean, absolutely props on that. Love to have you back on the show to kind of talk more about the women in experience, because that is something that's very near and dear to us in Women Lead Radio, and we are actually kind of pulling out the good, the best, the some of the bad and some of the ugly of women's initiatives going on in companies,
yes.
And some, like yours, sound like they're really doing some significant, I'm going to use that word again and love it, significant things. But, you know, something that I want to end the show on, and I'm really curious on your thoughts on this. It's always, because I came from commercial banking, and I'm always fascinated that I hear so many women will say now, you know, that part of advancement is that, you know, find a sponsor. Don't find a mentor, find a sponsor. And what I find interesting, we'll use that word, is so many women will, when asked, I'm like, you know, we tell this younger generation to go find a sponsor and be strategic and be selective and, you know what you're trying to do as far as find somebody that will take you on under their wing and really, you know, promote you as opposed to just, you know, giving you advice. What's fascinating to me is so many women will say, you know, that are leaders now and giving advice, as though when asked, and I'm going to ask you, did you actually do the same thing, or did a sponsor come to you like by accident or just by dumb luck? Because I find 9 times out of 10, most women will say, like my experience was, I had some fabulous male mentors in my banking career that became sponsors for me, but
yes.
I did not seek them out. I was just lucky. And I look at it now, here we're telling women to do that. So I'm curious your thoughts on your leadership journey and what advice would you give these women that, as a leader, did you go find them or did they find you? And you just, you know, what advice would you share with our listeners on that?
I think that's a great point, Michelle, because I would agree. I had mentors and bosses who turned into sponsors. That said, I also had mentors who would point out to me that there were particular people who were well-placed in the organization to assist me, and that with those people, I should be more forthright and intentional about speaking with them about my career desires. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So.
It does.
They naturally took a liking to me. They thought I did good work. And my mentors, who might have been in more ancillary roles, suggested to me, these are the kinds of conversations that you should have with someone who is going to be a sponsor or who you want to be your sponsor. And it is a great point that we are telling women it's important to get a sponsor. If I were to hear that, I would think, oh, I need to go to someone similar to asking them, will you be my mentor? Will you be my sponsor? I think about it a little bit differently. I think the sponsor relationship needs to naturally form, because for someone, you know, sponsor to put their own name behind your name, that needs to be a bit of a special relationship. But there's things that I believe women can do to make sure that those sponsors understand how to assist. And maybe that they do need a sponsor, like, oh, here is an opportunity for me to sponsor this person. So I think where I benefited from sponsors who naturally thought that I was a good fit for roles or that I was doing good work, my end of the bargain was to make sure that I was articulating what it was I desired, and doing that intentionally on a fairly regular basis to help turn those mentors and bosses into sponsors. So that's kind of how I think about it.
I think it's great. You know, and then in my final question to you, among one that I'm going to ask you to leave us on an inspiring note, but do you find, based on your leadership journey and where things are today, you know, and not going into anything with politics or media or anything, but just from a business standpoint, do you see things changing for the better for women and women's advancement and opportunities as you see it current day?
Yes, and I'll give you a couple examples. you know, the Women in Experian initiative that we've gone through, I would say Experian has always been very open to inclusion, and we don't suffer from the issues that you might hear about in the media or the press. Even in an organization like ours, our forums, our discussions with our male colleagues have really opened everyone's eyes to, oh, there's things that I could be doing differently. For example, we talk about, you know, calling on women in meetings, younger, you know, early career stage females.
Idea.
Just, to, you know, hey, pull them out. Help them, you know, rise them up. And I think those kinds of opportunities are going to be much more expansive for all of us. So, yes, I do see that. And I think also women leaders are getting a lot more thoughtful about how they work on diversity and inclusion throughout their business, and that helps all of us. So not just women, but all kinds of groups. And we've got, you know, like I said, several ERGs that are educating within the organization. So I think just raising awareness and assuming positive intent is having a great benefit.
That's like a drop the mic, girl. Just, you know, creating positive intent. I mean, that, you know, you've got some gems. I can see why you are the leader you are. And then here's my, like, power question. I always love this to ask every guest I have on the show. And that is, you know, with what you know and who you are and what our topic was today, I mean, what's one thing that you can share with our listeners that just is going to kind of inspire us to be better and do better of who we are? Because you've already started it, but I'm like, leave us with a power message. What do you got, Jennifer?
Oh, the power
no pressure,
message.
Right?
Well, it,
no
it
pressure.
It might be a little cliche, but I think the thing that I realized through all of the work that I had done about, you know, kind of being more mindful, getting in touch with response versus reaction is I knew that what was in me that made me original and made me rare and made me was where I needed to focus. And so what I always encourage people to do is, you know, don't spend a lot of time trying to be something different or someone different. Be yourself and focus on your strengths and really be confident in what you bring to the table. We, you know, diverse perspectives are what's important, and have that voice. If I could go back in time, I would say to the 20-year-old me, speak more, use your voice. You know, you've got a great perspective and a great brain, use it. And so I would say that to everyone listening, because our own uniqueness and our authenticity is really where our strength is.
Love that. That's good. That was so good. All right. So Jennifer, I want to say thank you for being our leading lady. You are obviously amazing. I'm going to have you back to talk about women in experience. So I want to wish all of our listeners a happy new year. You know, we love your loyalty. We are now, and we're here every Fridays at 2 p.m. and every Monday at 9 a.m. And we are getting ready to celebrate a new year. So I wish all of you a happy and wonderful and safe new year. And get ready. 2019 is going to be magical. We'll see you on the next show.
Thank you.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.